What's going on, grandkids? It's another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio with Eric and Kevin. Kevin, you just cracked open a beer, so you said, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and it is not quite even delectable yet, because that is how little I've had of it.
Whoops.
And how freshly it has been cracked.
Well, before you take a drink, what did you just pop open?
Well,
oh, not before, apparently, as you take a drink.
Yingling.
Ah, Yingling. Excellent.
I'm just about out of it, though, so.
Oh, sounds like another trip home for you, buddy.
Well, luckily I'm going to be traveling to Richmond, Virginia here soon, and I believe I can pick it up there, so I'm good to go.
Cool.
You know what? I'm going to be going to visit Jeremy after that, too, and I think that bullshit artist gets it. We don't get it west of Pennsylvania, but you can get it south of Pennsylvania for some goddamn reason.
I know. He was saying something to me on IM or somewhere or other, maybe texting, that he was drinking a Yingling at one point. Oh, he went to a concert, and he was drinking a Yingling, and one of the guys in one of the bands accidentally grabbed it and started drinking it, thinking it was his, and Jeremy just shot him this look, and he was like, oh, sorry, man. He was like, that's all right. It's bad enough to fuck with another man's beer, but it's yet another thing entirely to fuck with Jeremy Mays' beer.
No kidding.
Jesus. Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're sipping something delicious. I've got my, what the hell kind is this? My XXX Vitamin Water Zero, full of acai and blueberry and pomegranate and all sorts of vitamin B, which means I'm probably going to beat off after this. But anyway, I'm going to be full of energy for 15 minutes. Sorry, I just turned this into a XXX rated audio. Speaking of masturbating, let's talk about what happened at the beginning of TNA. Because Hulk Hogan, the guy in charge of things, put himself on TV yet again. However, you, as the guy, as part of this audio this week, who actually saw TNA, and trust me, I tried to watch it, but I made the mistake of getting into a conversation with my mom on Facebook rather than hunting down a replay online. That was a stupid idea. Kids, if your mom has Facebook, don't add her. And if you do add her, find a way to block her. And then you, too, can watch wrestling online without being interrupted. You have good things to say about promo at the beginning of the show. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, the I did not see the Hogan portion of the promo.
Okay.
I did, however, the Hogan RVD portion, because I was tuned into the draft. That,
yeah.
And I was ignoring both shows because there is a much more interesting hockey game on. So that even shows you where my brain was. I caught AJ Styles and Ric Flair. And you know what? AJ actually came off quite well and rather pissed off about his title loss.
Okay, that's a good step, yeah.
Yeah, well, and he just never quite has that. Like, he's been so into the trying to reenact Ric Flair when he was young.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a thing, like, just being able to rage against getting the shaft in your title belt.
Uh-huh.
It kind of helped get him out of the Ric Flair mode and just in the I'm pissed off mode, which
mm-hmm.
was very good. You know, and it made you forget that he's trying to be Junior Nate.
Yeah. Definitely very good.
So, and then Ric Flair, came and cut a fairly good promo after that, too, saying that the Abyss doesn't deserve his Hogan's Hall of Fame ring and that it's, you know, disrespectful and all that good stuff.
Yes. Good. I wholeheartedly agree. I think putting up something which should be considered that sacred up for grabs in a wrestling match, especially in this trash bag company like TNA, is just completely disrespectful.
Yeah, well, I hope you didn't read the results.
Is this Flair won, right? He, if I recall correctly, didn't he hit Abyss with some brass knuckles in the crotch and beat him?
Yeah, but then he was carrying them around. in his armpit, and the referee saw them drop him.
That's right. That's right.
So Earl restarted the match, and they black hole slam, and Hogan comes down. I'm glad I didn't see this part, and took the ring off of Flair's finger and gave it to Abyss, I think.
Oh, for crying out loud. Well, for as much as people are saying positive things about this week's episode of Impact, which they're saying less positive things than they were last week, that is like, that's like Russo booking at its, at almost at its worst. The idea that the loser, definite loser of the match, still walks away with the prize. That's horseshit. At least when Dusty Rhodes was booking Dusty finishes, there was like some shenanigans where there wasn't, you know, like somebody would get thrown over the top rope and then there'd be a pinfall, so there should have rightly been a disqualification before the pinfall.
No.
But then, you know, and then the rightful champion walked away with the belt. This is bullshit. Abyss got pinned and he's walking away with the Hall of Fame ring. That's horseshit.
Yeah. It's, because that's why it's so funny when Jeremy and I tried to do like an almost all positive review last week, but we were still picking on them for some very large problems.
Oh, Lord, yes.
But we're still being presented. And yeah, that Hall of Fame ring thing, I'm like, oh, fucking thank God. I don't know what match was on Raw, but I was far more interested in that than as soon as I saw them restart. Because I was wondering why Flair was holding. Like, it was so obvious that he was holding them in his armpit for some type of purpose. Yep. Like, if you're going to get rid of them, you throw them out of the ring, and the ref is none for the wiser. Why would you, you know, why would you hold on to them?
You know what's great, though, is that, okay, two things. One, he's the dirtiest player in the game, so he should know well enough to throw that shit out of the ring. But, A, he probably thinks so little, and I'm storyline-wise, follow me, he probably thinks so little of Earl Hebner, and he probably thinks so little of TNA, that he's like, fuck it, I could hide these things in my armpit. I could hide these things in a string around my neck, and no one around here would see him. But nope.
Well, he could have just lifted up one of his man boobs and put it under there.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Like a porn star from the 70s, man. I'm going to let that shit hang down real low. Rick Flair.
Outstanding.
What a gross old man. Hey, speaking of Abyss, though, well, was there anything else about the promo you wanted to talk about?
No, I just, like I said, I think I explained the AJ Styles part as well as could be said.
I'm glad to hear that he's showing
the rest
genuine
of the show.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that he's showing what might be genuine emotion. Of course, then you get Batista on the other channel who does it 10,000 times better. But anyway, what I was going to say was, speaking of Abyss, though, as we were a second ago, I was talking to my dad on the phone the other day, and he said, I ran across that TNA. I said, yeah. I said, who's that big guy on there? Because we'd talked about him before. I go, oh, you probably mean Abyss, the big Mankind ripoff? Yeah. That guy, good Lord, I watched him stumble around the ring for a while looking as awkward as all get out. I'm like, yeah? He says, yeah. Looks like all the training that guy ever did was, now step into the ring by going between the second and third rope, and that's all he ever got.
This is all that your dad said?
That was all my dad right there.
Outstanding.
I know, my dad talking shit on Abyss. How awesome is that?
It's always nice to get that outside validation. Like, you're just like, yep,
yeah.
Okay. You know, someone who's from the outside just really realizes how awkward this guy is.
Yeah, he's like watching a monkey fuck a football. Just completely awkward. In fact, I would be honored. I would be honored if, in a couple of weeks, Abyss ends up squashing a jobber named Brian Nelson, just to show my dad, just to prove him wrong, just to really give him his comeuppance. Yeah, right. Old Big Bad Brian would kick the shit out of Abyss, I'll tell you that much. Hell, he thought Flair was hard to wrestle at 61. My dad's only 60. He's a whippersnapper. But anyway, I wanted to share that little anecdote about my dad with everybody.
That is so awesome.
I know, I love it. And even better than that, the culmination of all things good and bad that have happened in TNA in the last couple of weeks comes in the form of the ratings, which were just reported earlier today. TNA Impact yesterday, as we're recording this, drew a 0.5 rating. Your thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah. All the WWE needs to do is switch from the 8 to 10 time slot if they really feel like fucking over TNA.
Yeah. Take full advantage of that TV rating.
As much as I love hockey, I'm guessing that the reason why most people weren't watching TNA, because basically Raw's ratings dropped a little bit, but fairly much stayed steady at the low threes there.
Yeah, they dropped about a tenth of a point this week.
Yeah, and as much as I love hockey, it's just not all that popular.
No.
So they can't really say, hey, this game was on. That's why we suck this week. It's got to be like, wow, maybe we made a really bad choice by going on Mondays. Like,
yeah. It would be nice if they came to that realization. And this actually, Jeremy is the one who alerted me to this. He called me. He made it a point to call me earlier tonight at like 6 o'clock. And he was like, did you hear? TNA got a 0.5. And I chuckled, and then I started laughing out loud from my belly. And he said, God, I hope that something like this is the answer to my dreams. Oh, I hope this fucking company goes away. And then he was like, I don't even know why I'm so upset. And I go, because I was like, yeah, really, we don't have a dog in this fight. He goes, yeah, we do. I have to watch that shit for Stunt Granny. So anything that causes Bob Carter to shit his pants besides his old decrepit age, I'm hoping that this is it, a 0.5 that makes him open his eyes and think, what the hell's going on around here? I'm closing this shit down.
Yeah, he's like, I just sunk all of this money into Hulk Hogan, moving the production, going live, trying to do more travel.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
It as much luck as they had in having the WWE stuck in Ireland for the extra 5 days or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
That also shows the fact that TNA would never be in that situation.
No. No. Definitely not.
Like, not in that massive kind of way. It's just like, wow, we are just completely fucked right now.
Right. I will say this though, in the defense of TNA, and to their credit, and to use history as an example and hope that it repeats itself, TNA last week was good. This week, not good, but not nearly as bad as it has been for the last 3 years, basically. So they're doing something a little more right than usual. But okay, and last week it was better than Raw. This week, from what I hear and from what I've read, the general consensus is it was not better than Raw. So taking those things into consideration, compare this to the original Monday Night Wars, 1995-96, and it's kind of a stalemate, but Nitro is putting on better shows, into 97. And they finally catch up in the ratings and start to win. And then there's a point where Raw is putting on better shows, but it takes them a year and a half to catch up, and then they win the ratings battle. But you just wait until Eric Bischoff gets on Facebook or Twitter or whatever that dipshit uses and spouts off something about, you know, Nitro had bad ratings but still put on better shows, and look what happened. So I'm sure someone's going to flaunt that excuse at some point, like, TNA's putting on good shows. You just wait a year and a half. Boy, that abyss is really going to get over, you know. He's going to lead up to that 1.3. You just wait.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm excited, though, to see the quarter-hour breakdowns, though. They're not out yet, but when they are, that'll pretty much tell the tale. Because, yeah, Raw and the first hour of Raw going up against the usually unopposed first hour of TNA was probably what crippled that show.
Yeah. And plus, like, they're just... Flair versus Abyss. Like, who can really care?
Yeah. Seriously.
And what, they yet again put the women in a segment there. It wasn't that the top of the hour? Wasn't that the 9 o'clock hour was the tag match with the women?
On TNA?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think you're right. I actually just got off the page on the Torch with the results, so I can't tell you for sure.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I swear this weekend in my gym, I saw Madison Rayne's doppelganger.
Oh, my God. Well, was she at least cute, though? Because I don't think Madison Rayne is the least bit attractive.
I know that she used to wrestle in Pro Wrestling Ohio, and I'm like, she doesn't live in Columbus, does she? Like, I didn't happen to, she doesn't just happen to come back here when TNA isn't taping, right? And I just happened to run into her at the gym. Her hair didn't look as long, though, but it did. It's kind of freaky because it was all blonde with just that one black streak in the front.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, it looked like the big fake titties, although they didn't look quite as big in person, and then a fairly nice ass as far as I'm concerned. I'm just like, seriously, is this her? Like, because I saw her Saturday and Sunday, and I'm just like, this is really strange.
Well, it sounds like you need to strike up a conversation with this pretty lady.
Yeah. Good luck with that if I ever see her again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
We'll find out. It's only the first two times that I've ever seen her. I'm just like, because I hadn't actually watched Impact yet, but I had taped it.
Yeah.
Because I think I taped it on Thursday, and I watched it. I'm just like, or no. I just paid extra attention this Monday. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, so her hair was longer during Impact this week than what I saw at the gym, so that makes me think that it's just someone that looked an awfully lot like her.
Okay.
And had the same, that was the weirdest part. Like, looking alike is one thing, but having, like, the same streak of black hair in, like, the same location, I was like, I don't know, it's possible. She could have gotten a haircut. Who the fuck knows?
Sure,
They taped that last week, didn't they?
Yeah, if it was longer on TV and shorter when you saw her in person, yeah, then that could definitely be a haircut. As opposed to, like, if it was a guy and he was, like, clean-shaven on TV and then, like, had a full, like, Zach Galifianakis beard a few days later, then you might start to wonder if it was the same guy or not, but...
Yeah, or even if her hair was... you know, a lot longer or something like that, would have been like, oh, okay, it really is just a strange coincidence. But, like, she could have cut it in the meantime. Who the fuck am I to judge?
I will say this, though, on a strange, like, bend of the topic, and I don't need to do this anymore now that I'm dating a real-life girl. I can't talk to girls at the gym. I don't know if it's my own hang-up or if I just feel like it's not good etiquette. Or what, but I just cannot strike. I could never. I thought about it. I stared at chicks from all the way across the room. But I don't know. I find it awkward to try to have a conversation with the girl at the gym.
Am I
in the minority,
that's
or is
awkward.
That about it?
It is awkward. But then on top of that, for me, like, I would say a good 70% of the women or so are there with their boyfriends, and it's just like, they don't always have the same workout routine, so it's kind of like, and then you see the guy come walking in to kiss her, I'm just like, okay, I can't really talk to anybody now, like, I feel like I'd be just a complete ass, like, hey, how you doing, and then, like, my boyfriend doesn't work out here.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's the other routine that I'd wait for. Even if she was single, I'd be like, no, buzz off.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. A couple of months ago, there was a blonde chick. I don't know. She was, like, walking back and forth between all the leg machines. And it was, like, me and two fucking just meat stacks. In my head, I call one of them Mini Brock Lesnar. Because he looked exactly like him, same haircut. Would have the same build if he was 6'4 and 300 pounds instead of, you know, 5'11 and 220 or whatever he is. But then I call the other guy mini Brock Lesnar because he looks like an even shrunk down version of that dude. And we were the only three over there. And I don't talk to anybody at the gym because fuck that. I don't go there to make friends. I go there to work out. But I kept seeing that blonde chick, like, looking over. And I didn't think she was looking at me, but I'm like, what the fuck is she looking at type of thing? And then when she finally came over about 20 minutes later and started making small talk with mini Brock, I'm like, oh, I get it, you know. So what if I would have said something to those guys, be like, we got a hot piece of ass over there, you know, and end up getting into a fucking fist fight with two guys? That would have been real smooth. So anyway, the lesson that I've learned is just keep your mouth shut.
Yep, that's what I get with.
Yep. Let's see. Hey, speaking of keeping quiet, this ought to be good. Let's switch gears to WWE. We already kind of mentioned their 3-1 rating, which is down a little bit, but that's fine. Maybe it was just spread out over the course of a 3-hour Raw. But
well, maybe it was. I bet you there were, since I'm so hockey-centric, maybe it's a split between hockey and the NBA playoffs, which are also going on right now.
That's true, and there are some pretty decent matches going on right now in the NBA playoffs. So,
yeah,
not like
I mean,
mind-blowing like the last year or two, but there are good matchups right now.
It's the first round too. It's just
really
kind of like you know, most of the top seeds should win. I mean, that's kind of the. After that, things tend to get a little hairy, but...
Yeah. What did Charlotte get knocked out in 4? So, there you go. The fucking preeminent 8 seed, Charlotte, no matter what moniker they go by, they always get stuck to be a number 8, and they always get knocked out immediately. No, what I was going to say was, speaking of keeping quiet, this is kind of a layover from Extreme Rules. I just wanted to bring this up because it sounds important. But Sheamus finally shut up the game. Now we're going to be at least, I would guess, probably a month, possibly even more, without Triple H, who is allegedly battling neck problems, but is definitely going off to film a movie. What do you make of this? Now, this is Sheamus. This is the guy who I've gone on record and said that I've liked, but I didn't really like the idea that he was a champion. But now that he's in this station... And he's putting Triple H on the shelf. I just kind of want to get your opinion of the whole thing. Sheamus's continued push and Hunter being gone for a while.
You know, it dawned on me a little bit later because I saw the movie Excuse first.
Yeah.
But could this be the time when Triple H starts pulling a Shawn Michaels on a yearly basis? Like, he... hasn't been gone on a regular basis yearly, and it's just like, well, we have an older veteran. He probably does need a little more time to take off and to rest his body up even more, and he's certainly in a position to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And aren't they having their third kid or something sometime soon?
I think so. I think Stephanie's pregnant again. I don't know how many kids she's already squeezed out, but yeah, I think they're on the verge of having another kid. You're right. He's 40 or 41 years old, I think. If I got my numbers right, he is at a point in his career where he needs to take like an extended amount of time off every year. And the thing is, also at this point in the career, save for his 2 quad injuries, he's been that, as I like to call him, albatross around the neck of Monday Night Raw for fucking how long now? Now is a great time in his career to leave for a few months so that when he comes back, hopefully absence will have made the heart grow fonder. So yeah, I think this might be strategically a very good thing for him to take time off.
Yeah, I don't know if my heart's going to grow fonder, but I have at least... Well, I think I've mentioned it more than enough recently. Like, I've gotten to the point of not hating him.
Yeah. Yeah, now it seems like he's taking himself a little less seriously, and he's helping people out more.
Yeah.
And he's just a little less 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah, he's maybe a 500-pound gorilla or something like that now.
He's
dropped a little bit of weight.
Yeah, he's less like Haystacks Calhoun and more like Kirstie Alley right about now. That was a poor analogy.
How about and trying to figure out why NXT is on this late.
Oh, weird. Well, what about Sheamus being the guy to do this to him? What do you make of that?
Hey, you know, you've got to put somebody over. And yeah. They definitely seem to like the guy. And no matter, you know what? God bless him. If he's gotten on Triple H's good side, I guess it still is somebody new.
Yeah.
And they've given him more mic time here recently, which is a plus.
Yes.
Because he certainly needed it, because I still don't think he's the best at it.
He's not the best, but he's improving. And if you talk to Jeremy about it, I think Jeremy really likes his delivery. And I'm liking it more. Like, he's starting to get to be more natural. Week by week, you see little tiny improvements. The things he's saying, of course, are pretty strictly scripted. But I think he sounds better than John Morrison. I think he sounds better than Ted DiBiase. So mic-wise, yeah, he's not the best, but I think of the new class, I think he's definitely the most progressed on the microphone. And I really like this bully character of his. He's just a dick. He's kind of a loner. He's Irish. I know that's stereotypical, but whatever. But the fact that Triple H is willing to be the sacrificial lamb for him right now, I think that's fantastic on both of their parts. Good for Triple H for finally doing this for someone, and good for Sheamus for him being the guy that gets the rub.
Yep, I mean, they're going to need it in that crowded roster that they have there on Raw.
Good Lord, yes. Well, hey, speaking of which, let's just talk about that then. So Monday Night Raw was obviously the 3-hour special with the draft. There were 8 moves, 4 of them to Raw, 4 to SmackDown. And then earlier today, the supplemental draft was held on WWE.com. 10 moves altogether. If you count the Hart Dynasty as one, I'm pretty sure it was 10 moves. Would have been 11 had they not screwed up and switched JTG for about a half an hour.
No, it was actually 11.
Okay, was it 11? Okay.
Yeah, I just pulled it up here because Caldwell has it as 9A as JTG to Raw scratched out. And then it says 9B is Rosa Mendez to SmackDown.
God. Well, no matter what happened, just in brief, because I already got to blog about it, I'm of the opinion that Raw is, I know it's the A show, I know it has more viewership, and I know that SmackDown is in turmoil right now, but I really feel like Raw is too top-heavy, and I feel like some of the moves that went over to SmackDown, it doesn't benefit the people on SmackDown than it should. But I want to get your opinions because you wrote up things for the supplemental draft for a while today before you had to go out for lunch. But I want to hear more of your say. So just kind of, I don't know, go ahead and pontificate. Like, if you want to start with Raw, since that's what we always talk about, what do you think of everyone who landed on Raw?
They really got everyone for the most part. Like, I don't, it's really weird. Morrison was stuck. R-Truth was stuck. Yeah, I've admitted that, but I thought that they really had a better chance of moving up the card on SmackDown. But, like, at this point, there's, like, no one to move up the card on SmackDown.
Yeah, there's no one to help them, like, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't say that right. There's no one to help any, like, all those guys that went there, I'm like, okay, they can develop them, but The Undertaker is the only guy that can give anybody rub, and he's not going to lose it to, like, 6 guys.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. I mean, I don't think he's lost to Punk yet, and he probably won't, you know. He beat Swagger clean on Raw. I can't imagine a Swagger Taker feud, you know, being taken seriously after that. Ray, but how seriously can you take Ray at this point in his career?
I thought that he had some type of stipulation in that match that he lost to CM Punk too.
Does he have to join the Straight Edge Society or no?
I don't know. Like, they didn't seem to make a very big deal out of that.
No, the big deal was made out of Punk's hair. But, yeah, if Ray were supposed to have joined the Straight Edge Society, he sure didn't do it on Raw because Punk was out there.
Yeah, and Punk didn't even really say anything. You'd think he'd be gloating about that fact if, like, even if to say, hey, tune in Friday when I induct, you know, Rey Mysterio into the Straight Edge Society. Like, even a little teaser like that, like, it's not that much. You don't need to do, like, a whole promo on it or anything, but...
Right.
You know, a little bit of something would probably be good because then you're advertising your best show through a wrestler,
Right.
Out to the audience.
Right. Which... SmackDown is going to cease to be the better show now, considering they lost everybody. Let's just stick with SmackDown, actually, for a second, because they got Christian.
Yeah.
But Christian's another guy who's a veteran, but not taken seriously. The crowd likes him, but it's not like he's a main event rub type of guy.
Right. Yeah,
and at
he's
the same
like
time,
the,
what's he
gonna do? If you're maybe moving up to get to close to main event level and you beat him, you're like, oh, okay, maybe I should pay attention to this dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kofi is, you know, I'm fine enough with him. I know you don't like him, but, again, he's kind of stuck into that he has no one to fight against. Like, I suppose he could feud with CM Punk and, you know, say that he grew up smoking weed all the time or something like that.
Yeah, that's honestly, and I thought of it, but I never, like, thought it or said it out loud. But, yeah, that's the best they could probably do other than we held the tag team belts for a short time together. But even then, who cares? Like, Kofi, there's another guy. He could have just floundered in the mid-card on Raw as it was, or as it stands now, he's just going to flounder on SmackDown because he's got no one to feud with. What, are we going to get Kofi versus Luke Gallows every week?
Yeah, and I mean, there's no one... I can't think of a major heel on SmackDown. Like, what does the Big Show do over there?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Especially when he just, like... acted all fine with Teddy Long and hugged him and everything, like he was joshing with him.
Yeah, yeah.
To say.
Yep. Well, what's he going to do? Is he going to feud with Undertaker? I'm not saying that would be bad, but, I mean, Christ. Here are two guys, they were the fucking contenders for the Tag Team Championship at SummerSlam 1999. And they're the top two guys on SmackDown right now, The Undertaker and Big Show.
Yeah, and like, I don't have a problem with that feud either, but it's one of those things that's just like, okay, well, A, it's been done already, even after Big Show developed the big right hand, so
yep.
It's not like there's going to be anything new to it.
Yep.
And it can only last like 2 or 3 months, honestly. Like, even if they go into it, it's like, after 3 months, what the fuck does the Big Show do?
Yeah, that's right. Was he going to feud with Ray as if we haven't seen the David versus Goliath thing 1,000 times? He can't feud. What's Christian going to do with him? Nothing. What's Kofi going to do with him? Nothing. So, yeah, I don't know. A bunch of those moves don't make any sense to me.
Yeah, so those are all head-scratchers. And then, in the supplemental draft, MVP goes back to SmackDown, which is fine enough. But again, sure. You know, we keep on wanting to push him up, but what you've got to be wanting to push him up somewhat if you're moving him to that show at this point. Like, there's nobody else there, and he's one of the biggest names. Like, and he was... by far, to me, the biggest name to move
in the supplemental draft.
In the supplemental draft.
Oh, yeah. But if he stays face, all he really has to do over there is feud with, you know, Drew McIntyre and help him look like a more legitimate Intercontinental Champion. I mean...
Get put to sleep by my boy, Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph, yeah, Dolph. And Cody Rhodes, Cody moved over, and that's all well and good. But, you know, Cody, it's not like there are any, you know, logical ready-made feuds with Cody. Was Cody going to challenge Ray for what? Is Cody going to, he could wrestle MVP, I guess. It would just be a lateral move for both of them.
That is really, like, I don't know if I'd mind the bigger names going to Raw than SmackDown, but it really seems like they just really left the to go back to that same theme. They've left the cupboards bare to help anybody out. Like, they've moved these guys over that you could see maybe moving up or, you know, dropping down depending upon what they want to do with them. But there's no way, you know, it's just like they're all going to be fighting each other, so the move doesn't really matter.
Right. Exactly. And that's the problem that I think plagues SmackDown. The problem that I think plagues Monday Night Raw is, let's take John Morrison. He moves to Raw. Had they moved one babyface over to SmackDown, what we have right now is Cena, Hunter, who's out, but still he's there, Orton, and then Morrison. You got a guy who is trying to, like, break the glass ceiling on SmackDown, and would have had a lot of success doing so. Now he's at best the number four babyface on Raw.
Yeah,
I don't see how that benefits him.
And neither do I. Like, it's crazy. Like, there is, it's ridiculous.
Yep. And you got a guy like R-Truth who's going to end up playing second banana, even to people like Yoshitatsu. You know.
Well, yeah, and you know what? You brought him up in your blog. I'm just like, oh, crap. That's right. You want to talk about another guy that, you know, if you're going to do an almost, okay, you know what? We're going to go kind of young on SmackDown here. So let's shift these guys over. Put Yoshi on there if you like him. Put Evan Bourne on there if you like him. Because, you know, what the fuck does Evan Bourne do on Raw at this point? It's just like, wow.
Yeah, it's so full of baby faces.
They clearly like him.
Yep.
But for some reason, I don't know why, if they don't think that Ray and Evan Bourne can coexist on the same brand together for some weird, like, oh, they're both high flyers, we can't have them on the same program.
Right.
It's just like, no, like, I mean, just let all those guys have a fun little playground on SmackDown, you know, kind of turn it into ECW Part 2.
Sure. And even as everything stands right now, if Evan Bourne were the only other person to switch over to SmackDown, I'm totally okay with him having a feud with Drew McIntyre for the Intercontinental Belt. Oh, Shad. I forgot about Shad over on SmackDown, too. He didn't move or anything, but... And it's funny, JPG almost moved, but didn't. So there are a couple of other guys, but it's yet two more guys who really aren't ready. They aren't ready to give rub, but they have nobody to wrestle to get rub.
Yep.
So it's like Bourne, you know, he might have been able to, you know, there's a guy who's at best probably the number six babyface on Raw. You know, he could easily be number, four behind Christian on SmackDown, which is fine. That's a good position to be in on SmackDown. But
in popularity, I would think that he would actually be higher than Christian, but I think WWE totem pole of things, he would be below him.
Yep, exactly. What were some other surprising moves to, or not even necessarily surprising? Shit, who else went to Raw besides Goldust?
Well, the biggest name, honestly, was probably Zeke.
Zeke. Oh, well, and that doesn't even mention Jericho and Edge. Which let's get to them in a second. Let's talk about Zeke. He's out, but I'm okay with him. I talked about this with Dusty, being on a show, the show opposite Shad. Because, racism alert, gotta have two big-ass black dudes. If you're gonna have them, you gotta have them on separate shows.
Yeah, well, and Bruce Mitchell called that out, too, with the, who did, fuck, it was that first day, it was Monday's program. It was all Kofi for R-Truth.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I was like, oh, yeah. You know, can't have both those guys in the same show, so let's go ahead and swap them.
Yeah, and then they move MVP over to SmackDown to fill Shelton Benjamin's hole? Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are no words that really go with Shelton Benjamin and hole.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I could do an hour on that alone, but I won't.
I can trot out the I can't believe they did this to him argument for the 9 millionth time, but what the fuck ever. They clearly had a problem with him. It's the WWE, that is not a hole that needs to be filled.
Right. What a bunch of douchers. Okay, Edge and Chris Jericho both moved to Monday Night Raw. You want to talk about top-heavy Raw? I mean, you took the... I love Punk to death, but, you know, if they're running a neck-and-neck race, him and Jericho, for best heel in the company, and Jericho, probably edging him out, pun not intended, ends up switching over to Raw. And then Edge, you know, is fresh. He's still kind of ambiguous in his character, and he's not really catching on as a babyface. He moves too? And then ends up teasing possibly being a heel by attacking Randy Orton. I don't know. What did you think of those two moves?
I was surprised at first, but if they're going to make Edge a heel again, I'm perfectly fine by that.
Yeah.
I've been saying how bad this thing has gone over since the beginning. I still couldn't believe, like, that night that he came back from the injury, I thought for sure Jericho's been ripping on him the whole time. People love people coming back from injuries. Like, you couldn't have really written it any better than what they did for him to come back to Giant Pop. And somehow it just didn't happen. Like, Jeremy keeps on telling me that, you know, it's because he started acting different, but then I brought up the point that Randy Orton acts different, and he's still getting that reaction.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe he just changed it better, I guess?
Maybe. I think Edge is inherently more hateable. I think people love to hate Edge. And I think that they long for a character like Randy Orton, who has just progressed into a badass. Like, somebody who just won't take shit and will hit you with their one badass move at the fucking drop of a hat. Whereas Edge, like, the whole trying to get the crowd to chant spear, spear, spear thing was cheesy. Watching him pull out his hair in bug-eyed goofiness rather than complete and utter fucking anger and frustration was cheesy. And plus, he's just got that smarmy attitude. He sounds like a dad who just, like, wants to, you know, his kid did something, he's like, you come over here, son, I'm gonna beat your ass. People want to boo someone like that. They don't want to cheer Edge. But I love booing Edge, you know. I'm like, I fucking love that guy as a heel. He's such a great heel. That he just wasn't going to catch on. So, yeah, I'm totally cool with the switch. I'm just really surprised, you know. And in a way, I'm not, though, because he and Jericho are going to share that number one heel spot once Batista's gone.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And that's the other thing that I suppose you need to factor in with them. Like, everyone's kind of speculating on what Batista will and will not do. So, you know, if he does leave, they kind of needed to make a bigger move.
Yeah.
You know, like what they did. So it's kind of, you know, excusable in a way with, you know, seeing what happens in the future here.
Sure. I'm just surprised it was both. Like, I'm okay with one going over. I'm okay with Edge's switch to heel if that's what he does. I'm just surprised that while they're basically in the middle of, and I know they just had a steel cage match, which should have been the blow-off of their feud, I'm just going to be really surprised to see them coexist on the same roster now. I would have expected those two to be split up too. But, you know, and then I can go back to the Morrison thing and how he's number four babyface at best, but Hunter's going to be gone for a while, so he'll be number three. And maybe we should have a little more faith in Hunter because, like you said, for the last couple of weeks, he's kind of, you know, letting loose of the reins a little bit. I don't know. I'm just surprised by a lot of these moves.
It all kind of goes back to they really just gutted SmackDown of anything resembling a stepladder. Like, everybody's just kind of all on the same level. And, I mean, yep. I guess they can build from that. You know, they're going to have to take their time with it.
Yeah.
But they can build from it, I suppose. So it'll be interesting.
You know, make it the landing strip for the guys from NXT once that show's over.
I made that joke fairly early on. It's like, dear Lord, are they expecting people from NXT to come down here?
Yeah, really. Well, you know, hire a couple guys from TNA. I'm sure there are some frustrated TNA wrestlers. The new Straight Edge Society guy, who is apparently Joey Mercury, even though everyone's trying to throw red herrings in there. There's another guy. I mean, there are people on SmackDown, but when that huge sea change happens of Edge, Jericho, Morrison, you know, though, especially those three guys. And
at least Punk is the top heel and Taker is the top face nobody like in between those guys we have the Big Show in there too, but
yeah, part-time
as we've
Undertaker,
already noted, he's just kind of fucked.
Yeah, part-time Undertaker, you know, gimmicky, like, special attraction Big Show, and still too new for the belt swagger, along with Punk and Ray. Just kind of weird.
Yeah.
So,
yep, although
I
guess that is the only upside, is that if they really want to, they can have Swagger beat a couple of guys and not be too worse for the wear if they really want to push him.
Right, yeah. I don't know, man. Like I said, it's going to be hard for guys to move up on SmackDown when there's no one to help them legitimately move, and it's going to be just as hard on Raw when it's so fucking cramped.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to have enough time on Raw unless they turn superstars into Raw Part 2.
Right, yeah, turn it into Heat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Any other final thoughts on the draft?
You know, there could always be a trade, which has occurred every now and again. Maybe the WWE will sit here and look at the roster changes and go, oh, wow, we really did rape and pillage SmackDown, so maybe we should do something about this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Wayne Brady's going to have to kill a bitch or make a deal.
Shit, yes. I love it. Oh, man,
so,
I can't stop that.
There might be something. Maybe, oh, gosh, and what? No, that was Drew Carey. It was Wayne Brady that did the do make a deal.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Still does.
Oh, yeah.
It's not past tense, my friend. He's still doing it.
Okay, well, you know, I watched it with my parents. My mom just loves it. She just loves the Wayne Brady.
Oh, because he makes Bryant Gumbel look like Malcolm X.
Exactly, Paul.
Classic Negro Domus. I love it. Oh, my God.
So, I mean, there's still maybe some time, and maybe they really are just trying to get a reaction out of this whole thing.
Sure.
Even though they don't acknowledge the internet crowd and they think we're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, right.
They have a tendency to acknowledge us on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah. Hi, JR. How are you, Jim? Well, let's see. I think that about does it for draft coverage. We've actually been kind of on the spot with that. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and some good Dave Chappelle references are always a good way to go out. So I think I'm going to go ahead and call time on this show. So we've got plenty of time for you to drink up and for me to post this shit and go to bed.
Sounds
good to you?
Cool.
Cool, man. Well, I'm going to sign off so everybody I don't know what happened, if maybe there's an interest in the draft or if it's because Mickie James was released and we posted a picture of her and put her name up. But we just got a big old spike in viewership, so everybody keep on keeping on. Visit Stunt Granny as often as you can. Tell your friends. Go to the Apple Store and set all the computers' homepages to stuntgranny.com, and we'll see you next time.
Well, for my sippy time beer that just got finished as Eric was talking, have a good night, grandkids.